So the question this morning is, are you ready? To which there appears to be no answer whatsoever. So that's why we're here, to find out. Great. We're still, what I'm doing this week is staying in the Kingdom of Heaven, Kingdom of God series. Obviously it's learning together, so it's a little bit different. The younger element at the back, the rebels on the back row, stick with us. Make some notes, draw some pictures, whatever you want to do. Hopefully it won't be too hard for you to follow. But yeah, we're in the Kingdom of Heaven series. We're looking at one of the parables that Jesus taught. And the question is, the point is, it's so simple. I think I read a lot online about this parable and people make it so complicated. You know, I even saw the other day, so a paraphrase. Let me make sure I've got this right. What's a paraphrase?
Retelling.
It's a retelling, but is it not shorter? It's not.
It's using different words.
Ah. So I misunderstood. I thought the person was being dumb because I was like, they said this is a paraphrase of the thing and it was like twice as long as the parable.
Maybe they used a lot of words.
They used a lot of words, yeah. But anyway, the parable is really simple. Simple question, but it is the most important question you can ever be asked. And the question is, are you ready? Not for this service, not for anything else, the stuff we're going to go through this morning. Ready for that day when Jesus comes back. And as Pete was telling us about last week, there's a big feast, there's a big party up in heaven. Jesus is going to set up his kingdom forever, perfectly. Are you ready for that day? That's the big, big question. And so let me just paraphrase the parable. It's a parable of 10 virgins, it's called, 10 women. And basically, they were getting ready for a wedding feast. And the whole idea of the way they did things was that they had this important role in the wedding, that they were to, there was a kind of parade? That sounds like too grand a word. But they would travel through the streets of the village or the town where the wedding was being held. The bridegroom would come and they would go to the place where the ceremony was going to continue. And they had this important role that they would be there with the people traveling through the streets and they'd have the torches to light the way. They didn't have street lamps back there, whether a street lamp outside your house works or not is another question, but they didn't even have them then. So it's an important role to carry these torches so that they could see where they were going as the wedding procession goes through the town or the village. And the story goes that there were 10 of them and they did things a bit differently. And what the story tells us is there were 10 wise virgins and 10 foolish virgins. I'm getting my words mixed up. 5 wise and 5 foolish. And the wise ones, because these lamps needed oil to burn, the wise ones brought oil with them. So they brought like a jar or a container of oil plus the lamp. And the foolish ones, the story goes, didn't bring any extra oils. There may have been a few drips in the bottom of the torch or whatever it was, of the lamp. But they didn't bring any extra oil. And what happened was, and I love this part of the story, they're waiting and they fell asleep, basically. We all can do that sometimes, can't we? Alan, not right now, okay? No falling asleep. We can all fall asleep. And they fell asleep, and then suddenly, as they're asleep, the bridegroom rocks up, and it's like, all systems go. Right, we've got to do this. And unfortunately, 5 wise women had oil that they could pour in their lamps. They got plenty to go through the streets to the place they need to go. The foolish ones, they lit their lamps, and they're like, hang on a second, it's going to go out in a minute. We haven't got enough. And they said to the wise ones, can we borrow your oil? Can you half and half? And they're like, well, that's stupid because we get halfway to the venue and then they'll all go out and we'll be in darkness. So no, you can't. People remark, that doesn't sound very Christian, but it was the right thing to do. They couldn't share. And so these foolish women had to run around the streets trying to find some oil to put in their lamps so that they could do the job they were supposed to do. And then, and by the time they got back, it was too late. It was too late. They couldn't get in. And the story goes, they banged on the door and they said, let us in. And the bridegroom comes to the door and says, go away. I never knew you. And so you've got these wise women, foolish women, waiting for this party. 5 of them were ready and 5 of them weren't. And so we want to think about this morning, about being ready. There's every chance my paraphrase was just longer than the parable, so I just kind of shot myself in the foot a little bit. Hey-ho. Are we ready? And so here's the first thing about being ready. So often when we think about being ready for stuff, one of the biggest questions is, are you going to be ready on time? Anyone good at timekeeping? Hill City Church. We want to be on time. We want to be ready by the time the thing is going to kick off, start. We need to be this place, that place, or whatever it might be. But here's the thing about this, it's different. The whole dynamic changes because we don't know the time. And that's one of the big points of these parables that Jesus tells about the kingdom of God coming, is that we don't know when it's going to be. And so it literally could be in half an hour. It could be. That's an exciting thing, isn't it? You might have a roast in the oven and you may not get to eat it. Like, that may disappoint you. And really, whether that's a big thing or not depends on which way it's going to go when you get to the end, you know what I mean? Because if you go the right way, you don't care about your roast because there's going to be better stuff up there. We don't know the time. And so the key to it isn't being ready by 11 o'clock or by next year or by 10 years' time. We've got to be ready right now because it could literally happen before I've finished speaking the sermon. So we don't know the time that it's going to happen. And so we need to make sure that right now, right here, we're ready. And the beauty about it is that we can be. You can be ready right in your seat. You may not have been ready when you walked in the door. And by the time you leave this place, you can be ready for that day when Jesus is going to burst through the clouds, set up his kingdom forever and ever. So here's a few things that we try and get ready for. So what is the key to getting ready to catch the bus? What's the key to it? Huh? Being at the bus stop, isn't it? So you might say, well, I've got to get dressed. Well, you don't have to. Go in your pyjamas, couldn't you? If you really wanted to. But you've got to be at the bus stop in the right place to catch the bus. You might say you need to be on time, but are buses ever on time? Like, I don't know. So that doesn't matter so much, especially if you've got a bus that comes every 15 minutes. They tell you about trains in India when you go there, that they're always on time, like a day late, basically. That's the only time they're ever on time. And so you've got to be in the right place. But is that key to being ready for when Jesus comes back? I used to remember this lovely old lady in the church we were in Cardiff used to talk about the fact that she was always told, you better make sure you're not in the cinema when Jesus comes back. Now, we've moved on a little bit, all right? The cinema's all right. Depends a little bit what you're watching, probably. But the cinema's okay. We're not worried about that. But you get the idea, don't you? Like, you'd only founded the wrong place when Jesus comes back. Now, is that critical? Is that important? Actually, no, it's not, really. And don't get me wrong, you don't really want to be found in the wrong place when Jesus comes back. But it isn't that important. Because what's going to happen is Jesus is going to bust through the clouds, and then we're all going to get caught up to meet him in the air. And so whether you're in the cinema or in Harvester next door or in Morrison's over the road, don't really matter, does it? Because you're flying. And so where you are doesn't actually matter that much. Don't get me wrong, I'm not encouraging you to be caught in a compromised position when Jesus returns, but it doesn't actually matter being in the right place. How about this one? We all know this. Getting ready for school in the morning. How are we getting ready for school in the morning? Chaos. That was the answer I wanted. When do people, like, kids, let's answer this question honestly, okay? When do you look for your shoes when you need to go to school in the morning? Yeah?
The very last second.
But it's after you're supposed to have left, let's be honest, isn't it? Yeah. Right? And can you ever find them? How many of them can you find? One, always one. It's never two you can't find, it's only one. But you can't find them. Getting to school is chaos, isn't it? It may be fine for some people. Bless you. But it's chaos in our house. Like, it's lastminute.com, basically. It's always, everyone's rushing round, no one's ever... In fairness, occasionally one of them is, like, ready 10 minutes before. And then they make it worse because they whinge at everyone else because they're not ready, which slows them down, which just makes the whole thing more painful. Anyway, and so it's always lastminute.com, and I think you could apply this to many, many, many times when we're getting ready for something. We so often leave it to the last minute. Now, does that matter? Does that matter when we're talking about the last day when Jesus comes back? And I think the answer to that one is yes, it does, doesn't it? It does. And this might be part of the point of the parable. What have those foolish women done? Well, they would have known they needed oil. It's not rocket science, is it? You need oil for your lamp. But they put it off. They hadn't bothered going in the middle of the day so that they were ready. They'd said, oh, we can do that later. Or we'll have time, the bridegroom will give us warning, someone, a messenger will come and say he's half an hour away and we'll be able to go and do it. It'll be fine. But that's the problem with that is that might have worked, but it didn't. And so the end came before they were ready for the end. And so a really important thing for us to recognize today is we shouldn't leave it. We shouldn't leave it because you don't know when the last minute is. That's a really sobering and serious kind of thought, but you just don't know, do you? You don't know when the last moment of your life is going to happen. You're going to breathe in and out for the last time, and that's going to be it. It could come any day, and obviously we hope it doesn't, but it can't leave it till later. We can't say, right, I'll do it this time. I'll sort this out with my life. I'll do this with my life now, and then when I'm a bit older, I'll go and sort that out. I'll get right with God then, because I've got so much to do, so much to think about. My plate's too full. I so too much in my brain, in my head. I can't think about that. No, don't do that. Don't do that. Because the consequences of leaving it to last minute are serious. If we don't know when the last minute is going to come, and it comes as Jesus says it will, as a thief in the night when we're not expecting it. So that's getting ready for school. How about getting ready for Christmas? Anyone getting ready for Christmas at the moment? Anyone ready for Christmas? Jacob's ready for Christmas. Wow. So all your present support wrapped under the tree? Everything sorted? Or is he just not bothered buying your presents? So we've got no one who's ready for Christmas. Cool. What's the big question when it comes to being ready for Christmas? One of the big questions. Let's avoid that. I think we might be all right with that one here, but let's be careful. Have you got all your presents? Yeah.
Have you got the turkey?
Have you got the turkey in? Was it booked it with a butcher or whatever it is? Beyond that, what's the kind of the goal of Christmas? Maybe you might have opinions and stuff on that. But Isabella, what's the goal of Christmas? Oh, yeah, well done. Well done. I'm talking a bit more carnally right now, okay? That is a perfect answer, and we should be celebrating that. But in all the stuff we do, what's the purpose of it all? We buy gifts, we have family time, the whole point of it is to give gifts that make other people happy, isn't it? Is that the point of it? Or maybe sometimes we just do it because we have to. I know that might be the case. But the point of it is to please someone, to make someone happy with the gift that you give, isn't it? And to give this great meal that everyone enjoys together. Now, I wonder if someone some people look at the last days and they have that kind of attitude when they're preparing for it. Is the stuff that I've done in life going to make Jesus happy when the last day comes? Can you see that? Identify with that maybe a little bit? Is what I've done, is he going to look at it all and be like, that's awesome. That makes me happy. That makes me smile. I'm pleased with what you've done. I'm sure we can all identify with that in a little way at least. Now, is that the biggest question? Is that what it means to be ready for Jesus to come back, to have a massive pile of stuff ready to give to him and say, Jesus, I know you already know everything I've ever done, but why don't you unwrap this and see how great it is? Is that how we get ready? It isn't, is it? That isn't how you get ready. Now, a little kind of note here, but I'm preaching again next week. Sorry about that. But we're doing another parable, and it's like the balance of this, okay? So you might listen to what I say today and say, well, surely there's a little bit more to it than that. A little bit, yeah, but next week is going to be the balance. You've got to come back for that, okay? You can't miss just because I've told you I'm preaching. But that isn't what this is about, getting ready. It doesn't matter how big your pile of stuff that God's going to be pleased with is, that doesn't mean you're more ready or not. And actually, to be building your life upon that is a massive, massive mistake. How about this one? What's it like getting ready for an exam? Stressful, yeah, revising. Again, some people might be that lastminute.com cramming. like the night before, the morning of, whatever it is. Some people might be ready, plenty of time. Don't know how many of them there are out there, but that you might be. But what's the big question you're asking, if, I guess, if you're preparing for an exam?
Do you know enough?
Do you know enough? Yeah. And I think that's the key word, isn't it? Enough. Do I know enough? And that's a real... Praise God we're indoors, right? Wow, that's pretty... testing the roof out. For the purpose of the tape, it's raining pretty extremely outside. We are in Wales, after all. Wow. What was I saying? So with an exam, there's all this big question of, have I revised enough? And you never quite know, do you? Is it fair to say that for an exam, there's always more work that you can do, right? There's always more you can learn, more you can study. I do remember doing the whole thing of, oh, I reckon that subject and that subject and that subject will come up, so let's just revise those and leave the other 20 to the side. Sometimes you get burned by doing that, I'll hold my hands up and say. But there's always more you can do. But again, do you think that's the way that some people look at the end times and think, am I ready? Have I done enough? Anyone identify with that? Have I done enough that when Jesus comes back, he'll look at my life and say, that's enough? Well, I'm sure you already know that isn't the way to look at it either, is it? Is it about doing enough? The truth is, being ready for Jesus to come back, and I'll be really honest with you, I was really tempted to preach this sermon, to kind of go down a little bit of that road in that we want to be ready by living the right kind of life, and that's next week, okay? That is next week. So there's a little part of that. But actually, you can be ready right now regardless of how much you've done. You might have prayed for 7,000 hours throughout the entirety of your life. You might have given hundreds and hundreds and thousands of pounds to good causes, Christian causes. You might have evangelized and witnessed to 700 people on the streets. You might have done all kinds of stuff. And here's the thing, you're no more ready than the person who just became a Christian 5 minutes ago. You're no more ready than the person who became a Christian a year ago, but has really struggled to do a huge amount with their life up to this point. You're no more ready, because it isn't about that. And can I just beg you not to get caught in that place? Because that's a terrible, terrible place to be caught in. And I know someone, there's a person that even comes to mind as I talk about this. And I listen to them talking, and all their stuff is about, oh, I really hope, you know, when God comes back, when he sees me, when he talks to me, I'll have done this and I've done that, and I hope it's enough. And I hope. And that's a horrible place to be in, because you never know, do you? How much is enough? How many hours is enough? How much service is enough? How much giving is enough? How much is enough? And it's never enough. Never, ever enough. Because being ready isn't based on anything that I can do, anything that I can achieve. It isn't based on me at all. And so all of these things we get ready for, they can maybe teach us things about what it means to be ready for the last day, be ready for Jesus. But as we finish, we need to know, how can we be ready then? If it isn't about doing enough, if it isn't about having a life that's pleasing to God so that he'll let me in, we need to be careful about leaving it to the last minute. If it isn't just about being in the right place and not getting caught out when he does return, what is it about? And for the answer to that question, actually the parable doesn't tell us the answer to that question. The parable just says, are you ready? And so we have to go to the rest of the Bible to find out what it means to be ready. And so I'm just going to go back a week and ask you the same question, really, that Pete was dealing with in his parable. Do you remember Pete's parable? The whole picture of that feast, the wedding feast that everyone was invited to. Invites went out. Some people turned it down because they were too busy. And then everyone was invited to come in. People came in. But then there was that one person, wasn't there, in the party. And what was the problem? Well, they weren't wearing the right stuff. And that's the question we have to ask. How are we dressed? And I don't mean outwardly. One of the big things about getting ready for all this stuff in life is you have to have the right clothes on, don't you? You have to be dressed, ready for it. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about how are we dressed inside. That's the key. How are we dressed on the inside? There's this amazing picture that I just love, in the Old Testament it is, of someone who's standing before the throne of God, and they're wearing these dirty, filthy, stinking clothes. And they're standing there before God, and as you can imagine, that's a pretty bad place to be in. God is holy and pure and perfect, and he's there just feeling dirty. We all know that feeling, don't we? Of feeling dirty on the inside. Guilty because I've done this or I've done that. And this person is standing there, and the story goes that someone comes and takes off that dirty robe, removes the filthy clothes. The picture is removing the guilt that they're carrying, and clothes them in royal, pure, perfect robes. And then the picture totally changes, doesn't it? Can you stand before the throne of God dressed, fit for a king? Well, you can. You can't you? The guilt's gone, the shame is gone, and you can stand there with your head held high. Well, the big question is then, how do we get those clothes inside now? How can we get rid of those dirty, filthy, stinking mess of clothing that we've made with our own lives? How can we get rid of that and put these royal robes on? Well, the truth is this, the reality is this, there's only one place you can get them. Not even a place, it's a person. There's only one person who can give you those royal, pure robes. And it's the only person who, for himself, genuinely wore those robes as he walked around in this world. He himself was perfect and pure and holy and never did any of the stinking, dirty stuff that we do all the time. And it's Jesus. Jesus is the only one who can give you those robes. But the beautiful thing is this. How do you get them from him? Do you have to pay money for them? You couldn't afford it, even if you could. Do you have to do some stuff and then come to him and say, look what I've done, will you give me those robes in exchange? No. All you have to do is to ask him. All you have to do is to say, Jesus, I realize I'm filthy. I realize I can't do enough. Maybe you've spent time trying to do enough. I know I did. I spent years trying to do enough. Years thinking it was all about my behavior and my lifestyle that mattered the most. But I can't do enough. I couldn't do enough. And I came to realize that. And I came to realize that all I had to do was come and say, Jesus, will you give me those robes? And do you know what he says? Every time, yes. He doesn't analyze your life. He doesn't look at you and say, size you up, kind of, well, are you the kind of person I want to be given my special robes to? He doesn't ask you loads of questions to see if you pass. He just says, yes. Yes, you can have them. Because obviously, you come to him, you're turning away from that filthy, dirty stuff, and you're saying that he's the one that can give them to you. That's faith. And so he says, yes. He says, yes, you can have my royal robes. Jesus, the Bible says, died on the cross, didn't he? That's what dealt with the filthy stuff, the dirty stuff that deserved to be punished. Jesus was punished for you in your place. He took that on him. That's why he can take the dirty stuff off. And then he earned those perfect robes himself with his life. That's how he can give you the fresh, royal, clean, pure clothing, which is the only way you can be ready for when Jesus comes back. And so, that's the question. Are you ready? Are you dressed? Is your heart clothed in pure royal robes? Or is it still stinking and dirty? Are you still dependent on what you can do, what you can achieve? Are you leaving it till the last minute? Oh, I've got stuff to do. I'll properly deal with God when it's a better time for me. Don't do any of that. Turn to Jesus, ask him, and he'll clothe you in those royal robes. And then you will be ready. Just as I finish right now, I love this about the parable again. That these women who were waiting for their wedding party, they fell asleep. They were just asleep when the bridegroom comes and knocks on the door. But you know, as far as I can see it, that's two different types of sleep. Two different types of sleep. The one was foolish, stupid sleep. They went to sleep not ready. They went to sleep not having what they needed. And so their fate was their own fault, wasn't it? It was sleep as if we're ready. And that's a big part of what these parables are about, because Jesus is speaking as much as to anyone else, to the Pharisees and the religious leaders. And basically their attitude would be, well, look at what we've done, we're fine. We'll go to sleep and we'll wake up and everything will be okay. But they'd missed the point. They hadn't got it. They hadn't realized it. And we need to be careful of that. Sometimes we can think everything's fine when it's not. But the others went to sleep with perfect peace because they knew they were ready. They knew that when the bridegroom came, all it took was a second. Had to rub the sleep out of their eyes. Maybe some of them were better at waking up than others. But they were ready. They were ready as soon as he came. And so they could sleep in peace, in rest. And that's what I want for all of us. That security that comes from knowing that we're dressed the right way. That we can lay down and sleep, knowing that if Jesus rocks up in the middle of the night, we're ready. We're ready. We don't have to say any final prayers. We don't have to finally confess the thing I did last night just before I went to bed. We're ready. I'm ready right now. If he was to burst through those clouds, and there's a lot of them out there, if he was to burst through right now, I'm ready. I'm going. How can you be sure of that? Well, let me just, as we finish, show you one little verse. Maybe you're sat there thinking, I kind of want to be sure, but I'm not really sure if I'm sure. And that's a difficult place to be in, and I understand that. Guys, at the back, if you can put up 1 John chapter 5, verse 1. How can you be sure? How can you know that if Jesus did come back today, that you'd dressed the right way, that you'd go to be with him, that it wouldn't matter about your roast because you're going to a feast in heaven? Now let's read this. 1 John 5 verse 1 says this. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been what? Born of God. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. They're ready. That's what it means, isn't it? They're ready. Next week is everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. We'll deal with that next week. But for now, what does that tell you? Well, the question is, do you believe that Jesus is the Christ? Right now, today, do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, the Saviour, the Messiah, the one that came to die for your sin, rising from death, defeating death, so that you could have hope? Do you believe that? If you do, and you can answer yes to that question, what are you? Born of God. And that phrase will do one of two things for you. Either it will throw you into more confusion, which maybe shows that you're not quite there yet, or it will rise faith in your heart. And you'll say, yeah, I do believe. Therefore, I take God at his word. Whatever I feel, however my day's gone, I might have had the worst day in the world, the best day in the world, I might not feel worthy, I might not feel loved, I might not feel good enough. Whatever I feel, I'm going to take God at his word. I believe that Jesus is the Christ, and therefore, God says, I'm born from above. God says, I'm ready. God says that one day, when Jesus bursts through the clouds, I'm going to be caught up to meet him in the air. That's faith. That's what faith is. Taking God at his word. If you've got any questions about that, just please come and talk to one of the leaders or someone else. Because this is the most important question you can ever ask. It's the most important issue of life. Are we ready for that day? Shall I pray? Father, thank you so much for your word. And thank you for little sections like this, which are just so simple. We make it so, so complicated sometimes. And I just pray you'd help us to remove all of that confusion and stuff out of our minds that would muddy the waters and cloudy stuff up for us so that we can't see clearly. What really matters is that simple question, are you ready? Have you trusted in Jesus? Do you believe that he's the Christ? If we have, then we can rest secure. We can lay our head on the pillow at night knowing that even if you were to return while we're still snoring, we'll go and be with you. We'll meet you in the air and we'll be with you forever. Lord, lead us all to that place of assurance, of faith, of certainty, I pray, that we know we're ready. Lord, anyone who's confused, just help them stir faith in their hearts that they too might believe you and trust you for themselves. I just ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.